Today's June 5th, 2023. Current Bitcoin price is $25,679.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
What's going on, Rick?
Same old, same old.
I hear you.
Another day.
Another day, another shekel.
Another couple sets.
Another couple sets. Stacking them sets. So we've had some interesting kind of things take place. Not a whole lot in the way of financial news. I mean, there's always something going on, but we're kind of in the waiting period, waiting for CPI numbers to come out. We're waiting for Fed meeting minutes to come out to find out whether or not they're going to pause or raise interest rates, right?
Right.
So that should be coming soon, but we're not there yet. We did have, you know, Bitcoin did kind of take a tumble today. Part of that was tied to Binance is getting sued by the SEC. They're suing Binance and Xiaopeng Zhao. The crypto economy experienced a substantial decline of over 5% against the U.S. dollar, reaching a total valuation of $1.13 trillion. Among the leading digital currencies, Binance BNB token suffered significant losses, dropping by 9.7% against the dollar in response to the SEC's allegations. So, and something we haven't talked about lately, too, is that it sounds like the SEC's case against Ripple is about to end. And I know I've said that before.
Yeah.
However, it looks like it's not going to be completely the SEC win, and it's not going to be completely a Ripple lose when that judgment comes out. So hopefully
at least that's rumors are saying, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's what some of the lawyers in the field have said so far. I hope that for their sakes and for all of our sakes, really, I mean, this is something we've talked about before too on the podcast, is whether you like Ripple or not, they need to win this case.
Right.
They need to stop the SEC from kind of just steamrolling. Because basically, I mean, if the SEC does win this case against Ripple, they're going to go after everything.
Yeah. The floodgates are opened, right? Mm-hmm. Everything except Bitcoin, right?
Right, yeah. Bitcoin and Ethereum, I think, would still be safe because, I mean, Ethereum, I'm pretty sure they're going to just list as a commodity as opposed to a security. So, yeah, that's just something to watch out for. So now this is kind of interesting that they're bringing this against Binance. They're saying basically, again, for selling securities incorrectly.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing, too, with... Here recently, didn't Binance basically pull out of Australia?
Yeah,
recently.
Well, they stopped a lot of the Australian trading pairs. Mm-hmm. Not that they didn't necessarily pull out of Australia. The tokens that they pulled the pairs with, I guess they weren't giving a lot of volume through the. And so when I say that they pulled the trading pairs, what that means is that you're not allowed to take the Australian dollar, I think is what it's still called.
And yeah, it's transfer
directly into those specific tokens. So it was a few that got delisted from that. But you could still buy, like, say, Bitcoin and then transfer the Bitcoin into those other tokens that you may have wanted. So they didn't completely cut them off, but there were some trading pairs that they stopped just because the volume was low, according to what Binance has said. I haven't heard anything further that it was anything nefarious or that there was something bad going on with it. So something to pay attention to for sure. Especially because we've had that big old wave of different companies within the United States, especially exchanges, right? Talking about leaving.
Right.
Because now we've heard it from Gemini, which Gemini was shocking because Gemini has kind of been the bootlickers of the government the whole time that they launched. I mean, they're the reason why we have New York regulations the way that they do, where they have to apply for the BIT license. They were
thank you, Gemini.
Yeah, good job, Winklevi. Other news that I had up, which this one isn't shocking, was Russia's Rosbank launches crypto payment solution for cross-border settlement. We knew this was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
They've been pushing, and by no means so. And I think I misspoke the other day too when we talked about the Hong Kong desk for Bitcoin. What they were doing is they were actually opening it up for the to be able to apply to be able to do it on the first.
Okay, so it's not open yet.
Right. Yeah. So they were allowing the applications to be entered in, so that way you could actually start selling to retail within Hong Kong. So what this one here, it looks like they're looking at launching the payment solution, but by no means does that mean they're going to do it quite yet. What they need to do is they've got to change some of their laws to allow them to use crypto in cross-border payments, because you can't censor it. We can put sanctions on the Russian ruble against the US dollar, all that stuff they want to. You can't stop Bitcoin.
Right.
At least not any way that I know of yet. So that's kind of interesting. I mean, it's just another step in that direction of, you know, this is why eventually all things should go to Bitcoin. But it's going to be one that, you know, I mean, Elizabeth Warren's probably going to use it as a negative and all those awesome things. Another interesting thing that kind of came up, and I just want to bring this up as a side note, is that Robert Kennedy did his talk on Twitter the other day, and apparently he did not mention Bitcoin or CBDCs during the speech.
On Twitter?
Yeah.
I didn't see that one.
I don't know a whole lot about it yet, but I know Jack Dorsey is backing him. So, I mean, that kind of tells me that his Bitcoin feelings and the crypto space at large are solid if Jack's backing that horse. So kind of curious to see. And then one of the last big things that we had was Bitcoin broke a new all-time high yesterday. Did you hear about this?
You mentioned something about it. I don't know if I'd count it, but it's interesting.
Yeah, so on Monday, Bitcoin reached a fresh all-time high on Pulse Chain decentralized exchange, with the asset surging from $27,000 to $70,000 in 20 minutes.
That's pretty crazy.
That is crazy. When you think about that, I mean, we kind of talked about this two episodes ago, where, you know, the traditional banking system, or this traditional, well, traditional banking system is kind of treating Bitcoin almost like gold, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where, did we talk about this on the podcast? Or did we just talk
yes,
about it
before? Yes, you did.
Okay. Where, you know, you've got the paper, but the paper's not being backed by the actual Bitcoin. So right. If people get smart enough and they pull all their money, all their Bitcoin off the exchanges, then all the exchanges don't have anything anymore. And then you get people that are like, well, but I bought Bitcoin and it was sitting on that exchange. Well, guess what? You didn't really buy Bitcoin. You bought some sort of underlying thing saying that it was Bitcoin, but it wasn't really Bitcoin. At that point, like, I mean, you can see Bitcoin do this type of movement for real. So, and that's the crazy thing. When you think about 21 million Bitcoin and you think about like the Winklevoss twins, and they've got like 200,000 Bitcoin. You know, you look at Michael Saylor, he's got, you know, probably close to 500,000 Bitcoin now. It's like, what happens when all that stuff finally gets pulled? Not counting the stuff that's lost.
Yeah, no, I mean, well, especially when, well, we've been talking about it for a long time. I mean, when does supply not meet demand?
Yeah.
And, when that happens, it'll be a very interesting ride.
I mean, yeah, I just, you know, it's, I guess it's crazy to think about, because it's one thing to say there's 21 million Bitcoin, or there's only 21 million Bitcoin that will ever exist. And, you know, you got these people buying it up. And that's, I think, one of the other things that confuses the heck out of me, because people are buying it up in mass, not not people, but whales, they buy it up like crazy, and they're able to buy it up without moving the price. You know?
Yeah.
And like, I think Michael Saylor has kind of mentioned this before. The way he does it is he's got bots that just buy nibbles of Bitcoin all the time. You know, they make small trades to purchase it over and over and over and over and over again. So that's why they're able to pull so much without shaking the market so quickly.
Without ramping up the price.
Yep. Yeah, because it kind of just goes unnoticed.
It's at least relatively unnoticed and doesn't spike the price too much, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's some movements. And typically with like, and Michael Saylor is always a good example of this. Like once he's done making the purchases, that's when he'll make his announcement. Like, yeah, I just bought another 1,500 Bitcoin at an average price of $24,000, you know, or whatever the case may be. But it's after the fact, after they've already made the purchases. They don't do it before.
Right. Well, of course, you don't want to tip your hand, right?
No, that would be a bad idea. There's not a whole lot. I mean, there's news going on. Obviously, the Binance thing really affected, I think, the Bitcoin price. I think that's kind of because Binance is the largest exchange globally. That's pretty major that they got hit with a lawsuit. Although Binance is so big that I don't know how much they're going to care. Like, I mean, it's not like Justin Sun, I think, from the Tron Group. Like, were you ever familiar with him at all?
You know, I didn't really follow Tron too much.
That guy was ridiculous. I don't know if we've talked about this on this podcast or not, but he would be like, oh, well, just Tron just signed a deal with Apple. And it would, or not with Apple, with Amazon. And people were like, oh my God, Tron's working with Amazon. And all it was like, Tron is using Amazon Web Services. You know what I'm saying? Like he was that kind of a guy. Like he was a hype machine and he was announcing stuff all the time. He got arrested. He got actually thrown in jail he's facing indictment right now still. So kind of interesting times, but I mean, he's kind of a con artist, con man kind of guy. That's yeah. My feeling when you're that kind of hype.
Yeah. I was going to say, that's not hype. That's a flat out lying.
Yep. Yeah. No. I guess, I mean, they are technically in business together in some way, shape or form, but not in the way that you'd think.
Well, all of us are in a way.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm sure we have Amazon Web Services that are promoting the BitByte podcast in some way, shape, or form. We posted on Twitter, so does that mean we're like chumming with Elon Musk? You know,
yeah, that's right. That's what we should say. So, until they end up in prison.
I do want you to bring up something because I think we got some stuff in the works that should be coming shortly. What are some of the stuff that we're going to be working on that people need to be keeping an eye out for?
Well, we're working on a couple of different checklists for content. We're going to start providing a newsletter, just kind of a weekly update on different things that are happening in the cryptocurrency space, and maybe even some chart, you know, looking at some charts, seeing how the movement patterns are looking like. Right now it's kind of fascinating. I'm hearing a whole bunch of different technical analysis going on right now. Some people are saying that Bitcoin is about to crash, and then some people say crypto is about to like take off. So, I mean, which one's correct? I don't know. I'd like to kind of analyze some of that stuff.
Yeah, I'm curious with that too. I mean, because you said you nailed it right on the head. You're hearing it on both sides, right? Like people are saying all these different things all the time, you know. And I was watching Bloomberg this morning, and they were talking about how, oh, well, we may have a recession in sectors recession, but not like a full-blown recession. And, you know, I mean, that's just traditional finance, right? And then in crypto, you get the same thing where, you know, right now we took a dip today because of the stuff that happened with Binance. Meanwhile, yesterday, you know, earlier in the day, supposedly, I guess, depending on where you're at in the world, 70,000 just got hit in a, you know, moment's notice. And something you brought up quite a few times is that we may see a big drawdown in Bitcoin, but how quickly will it recover depending on what happens in the world? So
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Yeah, I mean, it just seems like the world is just teetering on the edge of something.
Yeah.
Don't know what it is, but it doesn't look good. And we're just waiting for that shoe to drop.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like the markets are going to make a big determination once we hear from the FOMC, you know, with their meeting minutes from the Fed, and we find out whether they're going to pause or increase again.
Right.
I mean, I think that seems like what everybody's holding their breath for right now, in my opinion, and I could be wrong, but I don't know. What do you think right now? What do you think FOMC is going to do? Are they going to pause or are they going to increase again?
I think they're going to pause.
I feel like they're going to pause as well, but I don't know.
Well, last meeting, what did they do? Is it a race of 25 basis points?
Yep.
Yeah.
But, you know, just the week before that, Jerome Powell was talking, well, we might need another 50 before the cracks in the banking sector happened. And then they did the 0.25 to save face.
Yeah.
So that's kind of just how I'm reading the situation.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I think they're going to pause. I don't think they're going to cut rates, because then that would also look bad on them for having raised rates so drastically recently.
Yeah, no, and I kind of agree. I've seen some, a lot of like Bloomberg, like I'll have it on in the morning while I'm working out and stuff like that. A lot of that stuff right now, I do kind of agree with them for the most part, where they're saying we probably will not see an interest rate reduction this year. I think a pause is definitely possible, but I don't think they're going to cut rates.
I don't think they're going to cut rates until they feel that they have to.
Yeah, well, I think when they do, it'll be next year, presidential election times, like when that stuff starts going.
Or if some serious cracks start showing in the foundation of the economy and they feel like they got to stimulate things to get things going.
If they go on full-on panic mode, yeah, that'll be a...
That'll be just shorts. Tough.
Yeah. Salute my shorts while this ship's going down. So
that's kind of just been the course of things over the past 20 years, if you look at them objectively.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. But that's pretty much all I had. Do you have anything else you wanted to bring up today?
I think that's it.
Okay. So please do keep a lookout for those of you that do listen to us. Keep a lookout for some of these upcoming things that we're going to have. We should get that mailing list going hopefully here pretty soon. And then we'll start bringing you some products and hopefully some affiliate links that could actually be beneficial to you. So thank you all for listening.
Yep. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.